Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Don't miss today's life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Joining us on the broadcast today as we near the completion of this life study of Isaiah is Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back once again. Good to have you today.
Thank you for asking me to help with this program.
Well, Ron, these final programs on Isaiah 53 have been inspiring for sure, and I would say a compelling punctuation to this wonderful and poetic Old Testament portrait of Christ. This chapter, as we've mentioned now several times, is a detailed account of his crucifixion and unveils this great historical event with obvious monumental implications. But verse 12, the closing verse in this chapter, opens another window into what is happening behind the scenes in another invisible realm. Ron, what are some of the clues that the Bible gives us regarding what is taking place in the invisible scene that's behind the visible scene?
Well, this verse in Isaiah 53 points us in this direction. You have a reference to God dividing the spoil. And the word spoil has a significant meaning in relation to war. So it implies a victory in battle and that which is gained or acquired through that victory in battle. Well, we follow the principle of interpreting Scripture by Scripture. So we need to go not only to the Gospels, and not only to Acts, but we need to go to Paul's epistles concerning the full scope of Christ's incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. It's easy to see and easy to recognize that Christ suffered physically on the cross. He died there. Certain things happen in the environment as a result. And it's not too difficult to grasp the truth that Christ died for our sins. He was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. But this is primarily a physical view of the significance of Christ's death. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, we have a vision of the unseen spiritual realm related to the death of Christ on the cross. Satan at first really thought he had terminated the Lord Jesus. But during the second period of 3 hours, when Christ was dying for our sins, terminating all the negative things in the universe, judging the ruler of this world, Satan, judging his kingdom, then the evil angels that had followed the devil in his rebellion and were now principalities and powers in his satanic kingdom, they swarmed around the crucified Lord Jesus, trying to interfere, trying to stop what was going on. This is the war. But God, we're told from that verse, Colossians 2:15, he stripped off these principalities and powers, triumphing over them in the cross, putting them to shame. So here we see that a fierce battle in the spiritual realm was taking place while the Lord was dying on the cross for our redemption. And here we see the victory fought and won by Christ as he was dying in the physical realm. He accomplished this in the invisible spiritual realm. Thank the Lord for giving this vision to Paul, for Paul recording it in his epistles. And we thank the Lord for using the ministry of this age to rightly open up this portion from Colossians so we can see into this invisible realm and appreciate the battle fought by Christ and the victory he won. What a glorious victory this is. Satan has been put to shame.
Well, Ron, I think that whets our appetite for where we're going today, because we want to venture further into this invisible realm in the first section. Let's join Witness Lee.
Isaiah 53. Nearly all the Christians know this chapter. Do you think you understand Isaiah 53:12a? It says, "Therefore I," that means Jehovah God, "will divide to him a portion to him," to whom? To the ascended Christ. A portion with the great. "And he will divide the spoil." This word is too big. The spoil. This indicates there was a war. Somebody won that war, got the spoil. Just this one word, my, opens a wide window to you. War was going on. Somebody defeated. Somebody won. And he will divide spoil with the strong. Of course, not with you. Neither with me. We are the weak, not the strong. Who is the strong? Who is the great? God. God is the great. God is strong. As the great, he got the honor from Christ's ascension. As the strong, he got the victory. So the two, Christ and the strong one and the great one, they share with one another. This simply means in the ascension, there was a demonstration of Christ's victory by sharing the spoils. Okay, this is Isaiah 53:12. Only half a verse concerning Christ's ascension. But this half verse opens a big window. God the Father was the great. And God the Son was the fighter. He fought the battle on the cross in resurrection. So he won the battle. By the winning of that battle, he captured all Satan's captives.
Ron, we mentioned in the introduction that this verse 12 really points to battle, even warfare. But all of the accounts of the crucifixion show that Jesus didn't put up any kind of fight or resistance outwardly. I have a couple of questions for you. First, what kind of warfare and fighting is this, Ron? And then second, what is the spoil that is being divided up here?
All right, let's take them in the order that you presented them. Humanly, physically, the Lord did not fight. He did not resist. When a mass of people came to him in the garden, he said, "Now is your hour and the authority of darkness." He submitted himself. He did not fight for himself. But while he was dying on the cross for our redemption, he was fighting, as we've already pointed out a little bit, in this spiritual realm. The enemy was defeated. Christ won the victory. In Revelation 19, Christ will return as the warrior, as the commander-in-chief of his army of overcomers, his bridal army. And this expression, spoil, that is used in a military context. When one army defeats another, then they lay hold of what they consider valuable among the possessions or the things of the other party. That's called the spoil. So what is this spoil? What is this precious matter? that God in Christ obtained through his victory on the cross? Well, we know from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that this spoil was actually God's redeemed people that were held hostage in Satan's kingdom, who were now reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And these believers, known and chosen and predestinated from eternity past, were the spoil, were the precious possessions obtained through Christ's victory over the enemy. Then in his ascension, we may be anticipating what is coming here, he presented this spoil to God the Father, the one indicated by the words, the great and the strong. And the one who was the great and the strong, God the Father, then shared this spoil with his victorious Son. So first the Son presents the spoil, that is, the vanquished foes mentioned in Ephesians 4. He presents the spoil to the Father. The Father shares the spoil by presenting the vanquished foes to the Son, who then in his heavenly ministry and his organic salvation proceeds to sanctify them, to renew them, and to transform them, and make them gifts for the building up of the body of Christ.
Well, Ron, this matter of the spoils is very intriguing. First, Christ offers the spoils to the Father. Then, the Father gives the spoils back to Christ. And finally, Christ presents them as gifts to the church. I believe this is, without doubt, a very new and fresh thought to many believers listening today. Let's go back to Witness Lee, as he and then we can further develop this matter more.
I would turn you to Ephesians 4:8. Therefore, he led captive, having ascended to the height, Christ ascended to the heavens. That means he ascended to the height. This is a quotation from Psalm 68, verse 1. At that time, he led a train, a procession of captives. Who were these captives? Sinners. Before that time, we were captives under Satan's hand already. Then Christ, through his death and resurrection, defeated Satan, and he captured all the captives under Satan's hand to be his captives. Here, I like the amplified version. It says, he led a train of vanquished foes, including you and me, to the heavens, to present to the Father. Do you know this? Were you there? Were you among the train? Probably you don't know. You were there once already. You never heard such a gospel. Tell the sinners, dear friends, Christ got you already, and Christ brought you to the heavens. Preach the gospel by Ephesians 4:8. Christ led the captives with a triumphant procession. I don't know how many. God knows. Christ brought thee to the heavens to offer to the Father. Father, these are the spoil I gained through my fighting. Now, Father, I present this all to you as my present, not from the gift shop, but from the cross, amen, from the Hades, amen, from the tombs. Now, I present this all together to you as a present.
Ron, this is an extraordinary sequence that's taking place in this unseen, invisible realm, following God's victory at Calvary. In Christ's ascension, he takes us, the captive sinners, those being held in the clutches of sin and even Satan himself, and he makes us his captives in a triumphant procession. Then he presents all the vanquished ones to the Father, who in turn gives them back to Christ to present as gifts to the church. There's just too much to see here. So help us enter into what we're seeing and hearing today.
Okay, first I'd like to briefly correct a misinterpretation and misapplication of this verse in Ephesians 4 about the vanquished foes. A common teaching is that when Christ resurrected and ascended, he emptied out of Hades, out of the positive section, paradise, all the people of God who had died and brought them into heaven, so now they're all in heaven. That is absolutely not what the scriptures reveal, and that is certainly not the truth. Christ had a train of vanquished foes. These were those who had been captives of the enemy, who had usurped them, who had possessed them. And when the Lord was on the earth in his ministry, he would bind the strong man and then plunder his house. It's the same principle. He would deal with the enemy in order to recover God's chosen and redeemed people. So when Christ defeated the enemy on the cross, he obtained the spoil. That is all of these people that now belong to God. And when he ascended to the heavens, this is in the spiritual realm beyond space and time, he brought all of us, the vanquished foes, with him and presented all of us to God the Father as the spoil. Then the Father, as we pointed out, called in Isaiah as the great and the strong, he then offered them back to the Son as a gift. This is the sharing of the spoil, because God and his Son have a goal. They had a goal in accomplishing this tremendous victory on the cross, and that was to bring forth the body of Christ, which body, the church, will eventually become the bride, the counterpart of Christ. So Christ presented us, the vanquished foes, to the Father. The Father shared them with Christ the Son. Then the Son presents them and gives them as gifts, mentioned in Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints unto the building up of the body of Christ. They took place in the invisible spiritual realm, that is, in the heavens.
Well, Ron, we've been pointing out now that there was this battle, this warfare going on in the invisible realm at Calvary. I liked his word that the worldly people have their scenery in the visible realm, and they are enjoying that. But we are being enlightened to realize that there's a much grander scenery in the invisible realm. Witness Lee is going to pull back the curtain even further in this final section today and will show us that while his redemptive work is finished, he is still very busy and very active, along with the Father, preparing for an even greater battle that's still ahead.
The Son transformed all these captives in his resurrection life, making everyone a gift to the church. So he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some shepherds and teachers, and he gave some just like you and me, small potatoes. Well, all gift. Amen. The church has a large gift. Now you understand Ephesians 4:8. It is by this, listen, that Ephesians 4 tells us the body of Christ is built up. And this building up is the unique work of the New Testament ministry. Dear saints, learn to see some of the things behind the invisible scenery. Isaiah 53, verse 12a, this half verse, it is a verse to show us the invisible things going on in the invisible scenery. Christ was fighting, raging a war in his death on the cross. When he was dying there, he was fighting. And Second Peter tells us, when he went to the Hades after he died on the cross, he went to declare his victory to some evil angels. There was something invisible going on. While he was fighting on the cross, the Father joined the war. And the evil angels came to make trouble with the Father. The Father had to strip them off. And then the Father took them to make a public show, to shame them triumphantly. There was a war. Then after the war, resurrection. Then after the resurrection, he captured all the captives of Satan. And he brought them to the heavens to present them as a present to the Father. Amen. Then the Father returned this to him as a return present, and he accepted, and he made everyone a gift. Amen. The body of Christ, the church, gained all the gifts, Amen. All the spoil. So we are here on earth, but seeing the scenery in the heavens. Can you all see this? We were given to the Father as a present, but given back to the Son. Not just a present, but a gift to do the work of the New Testament ministry. Amen. To build up the body of Christ.
Well, Ron, our view into this invisible realm was really expanded in this section. The vanquished foes become Christ's gifts to the Father, who then gives them back to him for their transformation in order that he can present them ultimately to the church as the gifts that will build the body of Christ and prepare the church as his bride and a corporate warrior. While the warfare that we've been talking about thus far is in the invisible realm, there is another coming battle that will be visible, and the sequence of all that we've heard and seen today will be very crucial in the execution of that warfare. Connect these two great spiritual events for us, Ron, along with any final thoughts or comments that you'd like to make.
Let's begin with the glorious fact that through his work on the cross, Christ won a great victory. He defeated the enemy. He cast out the ruler of this age. He destroyed the devil. He judged Satan's kingdom. This is a fact. The God-man Jesus has defeated the enemy. The goal in all of this was to reconcile us to God, bring us to God as the vanquished foes, who would then be given to Christ, who would make us gifts to the body. This is crucial because the goal, as revealed in Ephesians, the very chapter that speaks of the vanquished foes and of the gifts, goes on to say that the body is building itself up. And the body that's building itself up will become the bride in Ephesians 5. And the bride in Ephesians 5 will be the spiritual army in Ephesians 6. So right now in this age, the church is a bridge between Christ's victory on the cross, displayed in his resurrection and ascension, and Christ coming again. So we are in the church, his body, testifying of his victory, maintaining his victory, praying in his victory, standing in his victory. Then those who are faithful to him will be his bridal army, mentioned in Revelation 19. Because at the very end of this age, our Lord Jesus will return, but not alone. He will come as the commander-in-chief of a bridal army, and he with his army will descend and encounter the armies of the enemy of Antichrist at Armageddon, and that will be the final war, issue in the manifestation of the coming kingdom. So the victory on the cross is a spiritual reality. As believers and members of the body of Christ, we need to see this victory, live in this reality, testify it, and proclaim it as part of the gospel of the kingdom, and then look to the Lord to be matured and perfected, to be victors that will return with our commander-in-chief when he manifests through the whole earth and to the whole universe that he is the victor, that he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, and now he will claim the whole earth as his inheritance, his possession. This is what we believe is coming, we hope, very soon.
Wow, Ron, that's a tremendous conclusion to this message. So much was touched on today. So many great truths of the scriptures were connected and made, I think, more clear for all of us.
Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.